Our journey during Lent has taken us through the experience of the disciples and their failure of Jesus. Their failure of Jesus at every step along the path, from the beginning of Holy Week at Palm Sunday all the way through until Good Friday. Their experience of failing Jesus again and again and again was our experience. Judas's betrayal of Jesus was our betrayal of Jesus. The disciples' failure to remain awake in the garden to pray is our failure to pray, to partake of the means of grace, to do as Jesus has called us to do. Their failure to respond as they should at the arrest of Jesus is our failure to respond to injustice in this world. Peter's three times denial before the sun rose is our denial of Jesus, not just in our words, but in our deeds and in the things that we fail to do. The people's cry for Barabbas is our cry, not for Christ, but for our own way and our own selfishness. The soldiers mocking, the people's mocking, the other criminal deriding Jesus from the cross is us mocking and deriding Jesus in favor of our own way. This journey, this Lenten journey that we have completed, if we are honest with ourselves, this journey is a journey of our failures, our sin, and the reason that Christ went to the cross, which makes the proclamation of God's love in the midst of this tragedy even more amazing. Father, he prayed from the cross. Father, Jesus prayed from the cross. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. This cry, this prayer of love for those who betrayed him, for those who failed him, for those who denied him, for those who mock him, this prayer of mercy and love, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing, is a prayer and a cry for each and every one of us, too. The them and they is us as much as it is those people in that day and age. His prayer offers us an opportunity to respond to God's love. It is a demonstration amidst the horror of his death that God loves us so much that he would give himself for us without limit and without restriction. That God's supreme, never-ending, unconditional love is there for us to receive. It matters not who we are. It matters not what we are. It matters not where we're from, what we're doing, or what we're going to do. Christ's cry from the cross, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. This cry of love is an affirmation that God loves us regardless, without limit, unconditional, and totally, completely. God loves you no matter what. Even if you don't receive his love, he still loves you. That's this message. The message of the gospel, the message of the good news of Jesus, the message that Lent draws us to observe here on Easter Sunday is that God loves us so much that he came into this life in the entirety of the Christ event, from his incarnation and birth in Bethlehem of Judea, all the way through his life and his teachings, his ministry, his healings, his givings, his servings, his feeding of the 5,000, his delivering the people who are caught in this trap of demonic possession, his healings of people with injuries and sicknesses. All of these acts of Christ's love culminates with him on the cross saying, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. And this is a prayer that he prays, not just for those around him, not just for his disciples, not just for those who were killing him. He prays that prayer for all of us because of God's love. Why do you look for the living among the dead? The angels asked. He is not here, but is risen. This message of the resurrection follows upon this message from the cross, is the conclusion and the affirmation of the truth and the reality of the message from the cross. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. This message, he is risen, he is not here, he is not dead, he is amongst you, he is not in this tomb, he is not trapped in this mausoleum, in this monument, he is risen, is the joyous affirmation of the truth of God's love. Now, all four Gospels agree that it was women who discovered the tomb empty, and they all agree that Mary Magdalene headed that group. And they are coming at the crack of dawn, wondering and discussing amongst themselves, according to Mark's gospel, who will roll away the stone. And as Luke tells us, the stone is already rolled away from the door, and they go in and they find the tomb empty. No Jesus. They had seen his body taken down from the cross. They knew he was dead. They saw it shoddily prepared. They saw it readied and placed in the tomb. They saw the door, the rock rolled over, the stone rolled over to block the door. They had gone and bought spices so that they could come back now on the first day of the week to finish the preparation that had not been completed. They were ready to do their job, and they go in, and he's not there. Now, really, it took a whole lot of guts to enter that tomb. I don't think I could have gone into that tomb. I would have been terrified to go into that tomb. But then I've probably seen way too many Walking Dead episodes on TV. The tomb was empty. And standing there in the dark, all alone, suddenly, bang, suddenly two guys are standing there. And they're dressed in dazzling clothes. And right there it says clearly, while they were perplexed about this, about the tomb being empty, suddenly two men were in dazzling clothes were stood beside them, and the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. Terrified? Empty tomb? Supposed to be Jesus? No Jesus? Now two guys suddenly appear out of nowhere wearing dazzling clothes? I would have done more than bow down on my face. There would have been a Greg-shaped hole in that rock wall as I'm trying to get out. These two men, angels, their dazzling clothes indicates they're angels, ask this classic question, the question that echoes down to us across the centuries, equal in stature to Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. You see, the gospel proclaims that he who died on the cross, he who came and proclaimed in prayer, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing, he who came amongst us to show us the love of God by healing us, forgiving us, delivering us, feeding us, being with us, he who came to proclaim this amazing message of the love of God, was not mastered by death, but became the master of death. Just as he was the master of forgiveness, so now he is the master of life, the ruler of life, the king of all life. He is the Lord of life. He is not dead. Yes, the women saw him die. They saw him put in that tomb. He is not there. He is risen. He is not among the dead. Why does the church constantly try to put him back among the dead? Jesus isn't bound by tombs. I had somebody ask me recently, do you have any physical evidence for the existence of Jesus? Other than writings about him, is there any physical evidence for the existence of Jesus? Well, for most historical characters, you might be able to point to a body, but there is no body in Jesus' case. He's raised. That's part of the proclamation of who he is. He is not in a tomb. You can find tombs to all sorts of historical characters and personages. You can't find one to Jesus. You can find an empty tomb, but no body. When you go into that tomb and in the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, you go into it, there's no body there. He is risen. And yet, we're constantly trying to contain Jesus, to trap Jesus inside a tomb or a mausoleum or a monument or a church, and make Jesus obey our rules and our regulations about what we think Jesus ought to do and be. But Jesus doesn't submit to our ideas because he's alive. Jesus doesn't submit to our preconceptions of who and what Jesus should be because Jesus is alive. He is not dead. He is risen. Why do you look for the living amongst the dead? And yet we try to trap him, contain him within the confines of our neat boxes, tombs or mausoleums or monuments or churches or denominations or even religions. We try to trap Jesus into our conception of who and what Jesus is supposed to be. But Jesus is alive and will not be governed or mastered or controlled. At Easter, we proclaim he is risen. But do we mean it? Do we experience it with our lives? Do we understand that the failure, the betrayal, the failure to pray, the denials, the deridings, all that occurred to Jesus from us, all of these sins forgiven, Father, forgive them for they don't know what they're doing. It's now proclaimed as gone, and we in the resurrection of Christ have our own resurrection, and we are raised to live anew, in new ways, serving others, representing Christ to this world, sharing the love of God to this world, having received forgiveness and now having received eternity in his resurrection. We are graced to share that very unconditional love, the love that never ends, with others, the love that we have received with all. This Easter, this Resurrection Day, as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ our Lord, let us truly share the love of God that we have received with all. Not trap Jesus into a church or a mausoleum or a grave of our design or a caricature of our liking, but instead allow Jesus to blow away the walls of our existence and help us to see his face in the poor and the hungry and the needy, and help us to become his hands and feet to help those who are in need of the good news of Jesus. This Easter, let us truly live the resurrected life with the life of he who lives and who brings eternal life inside of us. Why do you look for the living amongst the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Let us proclaim that message and share it with all, beginning with love for God and for neighbor, beginning with love, the love of God for all. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and let the people of God say,
in your presence, Lord. You have been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of the First United Methodist Church in Commerce, Texas, and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2016 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal, all rights reserved. For more information and for other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at First United Methodist Church, 1709 Highway 24, Commerce, Texas, 75428. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.